John Harry Turan, I'm enjoying this conversation. I'm learning a lot, as always, as we talk about the cloak of invisibility and the power of silence. Now, I've got another question for you, and this one is from Nick in Auckland, New Zealand, and he wants to know if you can use the cloak of invisibility to get into places. Now, he doesn't say what places or whether he's invited or not. He just says, can you use it to get into places?
Okay, that's a good one. What's his name again?
Nick.
Nick, I like that question, except sometimes we use the wrong tools to do something. It depends on what places you want to get into. You mean like if there's a room that's closed and you want to get into that? Well, instead of using the cloak of invisibility to do that, I think it'll be easier to just turn the knob or use the key. Okay, let's assume the door is locked. What do you do next? Well, depending on the circumstances, if you under certain conscious conditions and with certain beliefs and with that, remember, I'm going to use every time I do one of these, Steve, I'm going to tell you about one of the most important things in all of this, and it's called, again, the don't give a damn divine attitude, or the divine don't give a damn attitude, where you're not so attached to things. So you walk up to that door and you just hold the handle or the knob and you turn it, and the door, which everyone would swear was locked, would probably open for you very easily. Now, if you do that, you don't need the cloak of invisibility to do it. But I am sure that under certain circumstances, if you did need to, yes, you would find yourself on the other side of that wall, and you would be there in that closed place that you wanted to go in without anyone noticing. Now, again, I have to mention that your motives are important, but the universe really doesn't care. It will work for you whether your ideas, whether the reasons for going in there are good or not so good. Are they something that you could have used, done another way? Is there something you could have done another way? But let's say you wanted to go into a room to spy on people. I think you will short circuit yourself, because what is going to happen, unless you are really, really a master of this sort of thing, you would just short circuit yourself by saying, you know, I don't think it'll work. I really don't think it'll work. And you will find you won't be able to do it, because if you really were able to do it, you wouldn't need to do it. That is such an important point. In fact, I wrote a book by the name of When You Can Walk on Water, Take the Boat. If you can walk on water, that's a wonderful thing. But if there's a boat around, take that. Use these different methods first. And then, if you can't, then for goodness sake, walk on water. Does that make any sense? I hope it does, Steve.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. And Nick, I'm sure is getting a tremendous amount of value out of that. So I appreciate you enlightening us. We've got another question here, if that's all right. We've got one from Glenn in New York. And Glenn says, I have a gambling problem. I take frequent trips to Atlantic City. Can I use the cloak to make Atlantic City invisible to me to put it out of my mind?
There again, there's so many other simpler ways to do it. Why would one do that? That's like using a shotgun to kill a fly, or that's like burning down your house to destroy a mouse, because it's overkill. You don't want to do it that way. There are other ways that are so simple that would get rid of that addiction to gambling. The addiction is no different than addiction to anything, whether it be to drugs or to cigarettes or alcohol or coffee or anything. They all share the basic things. I don't care what the other chemical things are that make it happen that way. And you are free from those things. It's a matter of self-realization, of realizing that nothing, no thing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, is greater than who you are. And by getting back to who you are and realizing your power, you will find that the desire for gambling, or the desire for a certain drug, or the desire to get rid of this view of Atlantic City will disappear. You don't have to do anything. It will be like what I teach people at times, how to lose weight because they like to eat, they overeat, and then they think they are fat because they overeat, or they overeat and thus they're fat. So the thing has to be reversed, like, no, eating doesn't have that much to do with it as much as I think it has a lot to do with it. And you could get to the point where you realize that if your mind is clear and your vision is clear and you are super confident in what you know and what you have done and in who you are in this universe, then you can eat the worst diet and your body would respond in a great way. And yet, if the mind is full of all kinds of troubles and things and not sure of itself, even the best diet may not be able to help it. I hope that makes a little sense about that gambling thing.
I think so, and I appreciate you putting that into perspective and showing us where it applies and where it doesn't and how to fit all that together. And along those lines, I've got another question here. This is from Melanie, who is in South Carolina. And Melanie writes, I want to get married, but I feel I am invisible to the man of my desires. I feel that I am using the cloak of invisibility by accident, and it is working against me. How can I reverse this?
I love these questions. I really do. I never thought of that. The cloak of invisibility by accident, it's reversed, so the other person doesn't see her. No, Melanie, that's not the case. What is happening here is there's an anxiety about it. You want to get married. You want this relationship so badly that what you're doing, you're sending out all these vibes that say, I'm desperate, I'm anxious, I do not believe I'm worthy of this. See what's happening there? Nothing to do with the cloak of invisibility at all. It just has to do with what are the vibes I'm sending out. I'm just sending out the vibes that I really, really want this thing, but I know I don't deserve it, and I know I've got to chase after it, and I've got to work for it really hard. No, you don't have to. Have you ever watched an egg work hard to become a chicken? Nothing happens. You watch it, and after 7 days, it seems like the same egg that was there 5 days ago. And if you watch it at 14 days, it looks like the same thing. And at 16 days or 17 or 18, looks like the same thing. Nothing is happening. But on one fateful day, and I don't remember if it's 19 or 21, I think it's 21, that little egg, which was so still for all those days, starts vibrating a little, and you start hearing a little pecking sound, and all of a sudden the eggshell breaks and out comes this little beautiful baby chick. And all the time you thought nothing was happening. So this is how I compare it to that situation. You set the powers to work for you by doing certain things within yourself, so you don't have to rush at the thing you think you want. Nothing to do with the cloak of invisibility and everything to do with it. Remember, we had earlier stated, not on this talk, but maybe one of the previous ones, that everything is connected to everything. And so is the law of using the invisible, the cloak of invisibility, or the law of attraction, or the law of detraction, or any law you could think of, or anything in the spiritual realm, because everything is in the spiritual realm, and it has to do with what you're thinking and feeling. So the first thing that Melanie has to do is to change the way she thinks about the situation, develop that divine don't give a damn attitude about the whole thing, and start by saying to yourself, you know, am I the... I tell people at times in my counseling work, I said, who have a problem like this? I said, tell me something. Would you marry somebody like you? And one person made me laugh, said, hell no. I said, oh, and you expect somebody to marry you. If you wouldn't marry someone like you, why do you think anyone would want to marry somebody like you? So you have to look at you, examine yourself. What is it you're bringing to the table? Just your good looks? Let me tell you something about good looks. As you get older, they disappear. There are exceptions like you and me, Steve. I'm kidding, of course. But that disappears. Your talents? Yeah, you'll get wiser as time goes on. Your money? Money can be gained and lost in a split second. What is it that you're bringing to the table? You're bringing you, an individual. There's no other one like you on earth. You are so special. You're a rare diamond. They can't duplicate you. You got to start by feeling good within yourself, because when you feel good about who you are and you're confident about what you are about, the cloak of invisibility works for you to protect you from things. You use the law of attraction so beautifully that you draw to you, you attract to you a like-minded person who, if you're looking for a relationship, if you're a guy, it will be a beautiful girl, or if you're a girl, it'll be a wonderful partner, guy, whatever. It will be just what you want, but there's got to be that calmness in you because nature doesn't hurry. You don't hear the law of gravity make a sound when it's working. It's working right now for me and all almost 7 billions of us on Earth and every life form. And yet we can't turn around and say, hey, there's the law of gravity. Or there, it's working all the time. We just have to get into the flow of it. We can sit and stare at the wire that carries electricity to the bulb, and nothing will happen. We can will it. Okay, there are exceptions. Let me tell you what the exceptions are. If you're an advanced yogi, a Shambhala master, a Shaolin master, you can do this and it'll work for you because these folks spend a lot of time practicing, learning the laws, using them and trusting the process. But ordinary folks, you can sit and stare at that wire that carries the electricity to the bulb and the bulb will still not go on. You have to follow certain rules. You got to walk over to the wall, flip the switch, and it works. So Melanie, there are a lot more creative ways to get that relationship.
Okay, wonderful advice as always, and I appreciate that. I'm sure Melanie does too. We've got another question here. This one is from Brian. He's in New York, and he says, I am mad at the world, and I think it is because of how others see me. Can the cloak of invisibility help?
No.
Sorry, Brian.
Let me tell you why. The answer to some of these questions is yes and no. What Brian is doing, he's looking at the wrong problem. He is mad at the world. Let me tell you something, Brian. The world doesn't care. Now, that might seem cold, really cold, but it's true. Remember we talked about the law of gravity? It really doesn't care. The law of gravity just is. The law of attraction just is, and you can use them. But the question you asked about the statement about being mad at the world, first of all, realize the world is not going to care whether you're mad or not. And so you have to turn around and say, now, how else can I deal with this? And you have to go back into your being again. Why do you feel that way? You feel that way because you think you don't deserve. There's guilt. My old friend, Foster Hibbert, once, we used to have lots of talks, and he'd tell me the things that he and Napoleon Hill used to talk about, and then we would go into some new things. For those who don't know who Napoleon Hill was, he was the author of the book, the classical Think and Grow Rich. And Foster ran the Napoleon Hill Academy in California for a few years, became friends with Napoleon Hill. And in Atlanta, Foster was here lecturing, and whenever he came in, we'd go to dinner. So at dinner, we were talking about certain things. And I said, you know, Foster, after dinner, I'd like to interview you. You know, I've done that before. And by the way, I've got that interview. It's a classic. I'd like to interview you about becoming rich, because Foster was one of those wealth teachers. And I might repeat this story later on because it's so important. In another segment, I'll repeat it. And I said, what is it that causes all these problems? I mean, why is it that we don't get the things we want? And he said, simply, John, it's a simple thing, John, guilt. And I looked at him. I said, that's it? Guilt? He said, John, the message of guilt is one message. It says, you don't deserve, you don't deserve, you don't deserve. You're punishing yourself for something you think you may have done a long time ago. And you don't deserve. You feel guilty. And therefore, all these things happen. To my friend in New York, I want to say, it's not New York's fault. It's nobody's fault. It's not the world's fault. And in a way, it's not totally your fault, because nobody ever told you these things. But now that you know this, you have to work on you, not on the world. Because guess what? The world is a total reflection of you. And as you change, And as you think, so the world becomes.
Very powerful words. And I love the way you just put all that together. And Brian, I'm sure, is getting what he needs to hear. Here's another question from Dan in Las Vegas. Dan writes, I have a drinking problem. I see myself as an alcoholic. Can the cloak of invisibility help with this?
Again, this is for something else, not the cloak of invisibility. Yeah, you could use it so that the bottle is surrounded by the cloak of invisibility and you don't see the bottle, but that wouldn't take away from you. What's his name again?
Dan.
That wouldn't take away from you the desire, Dan. That comes from inside, and that comes from a habit pattern also. And I understand how hard it might be to break any habit, but you can break these habits by using a few other tools. Again, the tool of practice and the tool of non-attachment. I'll say something here that's interesting. Many people don't know this because they've seen me at lectures and they never saw me with a cigarette, but I smoked for many years. And one day I thought, what a terrible thing. I don't want my kids to do that. And so a certain incident occurred. I never smoked in the house. This is a few years ago. And I said, I've got to get a cigarette. So it was raining. And since I never smoke in the house, I went outside and stood by the garage door. And I took out the cigarette and I grabbed this old umbrella and I lit the cigarette and I'm smoking. And then all of a sudden there was a realization. I looked at my mailbox in the rain. I looked at the garbage can which I put out there earlier the day. And I said, this is amazing. You will not go out in the rain to get the garbage can. You will not go out in the rain to get the mail. But here you are quitting whatever it is you were doing. Very important stuff. Walking down, standing in the rain to smoke a cigarette. Now, isn't this ridiculous? And that one thought, when I went back in the house, I said, you know, I'm going to stop this. But I, having smoked for so many years, it was like, man, I want to stop. This is fun. You know, it's like John number one and John number two arguing. No cloak of invisibility here. They're arguing. The one saying, I think I can do this. The other one says, nope, you can't do it. I bet you can't. The other one says, yeah, you can. And finally I said, okay, here's the situation. I'll listen to both of them. Now, that's amazing. What did I do? I used a very powerful statement. It became an affirmation. This is how it went. I said to myself, as of today, I quit. There were still cigarettes in the pack, which means that if I really couldn't, I could reach and get another one, okay? But I said, as of today, I quit. But in case I can't, I've got cigarettes. I still can quit. And then I started saying this. Whenever the urge came by, I would say, and I think AA uses this and many other people, I'd say, not now, later. You see, the desire won't be denied, but it would be postponed. And when I said, not now, later, it's been many years, and I've never had a cigarette. And people might say, well, don't you have an urge for it? Yeah, once in a while there's a little urge, but guess what? I say, not now, later. So with the drinking habit, the same thing. You don't have to change anything around there. I didn't change brands of cigarettes. I didn't change anything except my mind. And when I changed my mind, my entire world changed. It's been many years, and I haven't smoked. I have no urge to do it. And if I do have, and I don't know why I would, but if I do have, I just say, not now, later, and the urge will disappear. I hope that helps.
Absolutely. I think that's very powerful. And I, as many people know, am a strong advocate for not smoking. My father a few years ago passed away from emphysema, which was related to smoking. So, John, I congratulate you on beating that the terrible situation.
Yeah, well, it wasn't tough at all for me, but for a lot of my friends, it's very tough. I think for me, it's because I use some of these tools we were born with. A simple affirmation and a simple making up my mind. Now, you always have to leave a door open. So I didn't throw away those cigarettes. I left it in a drawer on my desk, and I said, just in case I can't stand it. I'll go get one instead of sitting there and becoming all nervous. But I never had to because I kept saying, okay, not now, later, and then I'd forget about it. It didn't work with jelly beans and donuts, though.
Well, you've got to have some vices and a little bit of fun. You know, it's funny. When I was a kid, I grew up in South Florida, and everybody had a pool in their backyard, including me. And it's amazing when you don't have a pool. Before I had a pool, everybody else did. And I talked to my parents. When we had a pool, we did what everybody else did. We got a pool. After we got it, I didn't swim much. It's interesting that when you have it there, you don't always use it. And I guess that's the way cigarettes were for you.
Yeah, I had it there, and I didn't need it. And it's like everything else, you know. You go out to the store and you see this beautiful, lovely TV set. It's like 60 inches across the diameter. And you look at it and say, oh, that's going to be just perfect. Think of the games I could see. In fact, in my case, think about the Star Trek episodes and Star Wars or whatever it is I watch when I do. And you get it and you bring it home and you set it up there. And all of a sudden, it's so great. And then a week later, 2 weeks later, you're watching it like you'd normally watch your television if you do. And then after a month or so, it becomes invisible. You don't notice it anymore, and it's sitting right there. See, it's like the pool. Wanted it so badly, when you got it, it lost its attraction. You didn't use it. It's a way of life.
Go ahead and say that. Say it again, John. I'll stay up.
The way of things, I'd say. This is how the world seems to work.
Very well put, and you have a tremendous understanding of that. And I want to move on now to a question from Natalia in Russia, who says, can I use this to enhance meditation?
Ah, now this could be a very good use for it. Because one of the problems with meditation, and I know that you are very familiar with meditation, Steve, and the various aspects and the way the mind works through your hypnotherapy practice. One of the things about meditation is distraction. People always say to me, well, I've got to go and find a quiet place where I can meditate, or I'm going to go do my meditation now, or so forth. And many times, if you, in this mobile world where we travel a lot, and sometimes you find yourself on planes or trains or in cars, and I wouldn't suggest while you're driving that you close your eyes and meditate. It's not conducive to longevity. And to other people's also. So these are the times when you find you're being distracted and you're at an airport. Instead of sitting down and saying, you know, the noise here distracts me from it, just use the cloak of invisibility so that no one notices you. You don't program your mind or set your mind like an alarm clock that if they call your gate number, you will hear that, but nothing else unless it's an emergency. And for quietness, you will have it almost instantly. I know some people who snap their fingers, not so anybody notices, but almost like an invisible, pardon the pun, invisible way, with a cloak of invisibility, and they immediately fall to the level of quietness for meditation. And in meditation, you're basically creating also what I call the alpha state in the mind, which is one of the more creative states. The beta state is the waking state of consciousness, and alpha is more predominant. Alpha waves in the brain are more predominant just when you wake up in the morning, first thing after you wake up in the morning, and last thing before falling asleep, because in that in-between state, there's a tremendous creativity area that we all can explore and exploit. So you want to change habits? Those are two of the best times to do it. Again, in meditation, you can create the environment in your mind to make it happen. And this is one of the great uses of the cloak of invisibility, to get some privacy and some quietness. Yes, great question.
Okay, and great answer. We've got one more question here, and this is from Michael in Texas. And he writes, please explain the relationship between the cloak of invisibility and the power of silence.
I really think that one is the other side of the other. You take that cloak of invisibility and you turn it inside out and you got silence. Remember again, everything is connected to everything else. And it's the other side of the coin. You practice one and you will know the other one. You use the other one, and you're actually using the power of silence, silence of the mind, where you're not sending out vibrations of all sorts to get the attention of other people.
Very well put, John. So the power of silence is the power that we have to remain silent and to invoke the cloak of invisibility, if you will?
Yes, that's partly it, because people think of silence as a very inactive thing. And my view of it, and the view of quite a number of yogis and masters, is that although it might appear to be like inactivity, your mind is so sharp, it's like a giant observer watching his or her creation. It's like you're just observing things, but you're not reacting and you're not judging.